Well, good morning, everyone. Dan Clarkson podcast. It might not be morning. You might be playing this in the afternoon. But, you know, I've said good morning now, so good morning it is. I might play it in the evening, so good evening. But anyway, I'm recording it in the morning, and I'm pretty excited. You can scroll back through loads of podcasts and get an introduction, because I can't be bothered today. Right, I thought we'd talk about drills. Not the sort of DIY ones that you get from Screwfix or Toolstation, because and there's loads of other places you can buy drills by all accounts. I mean, Schwarzenegger's advertising them on telly at the moment for some centre aisle shenanigans. But we're not talking about those sort of drills. We're talking about kayaking drills, basics, the basic skills, and I don't see people doing enough. Well, I say I don't see people doing them enough. I see a certain niche of people doing them plenty. And then I see loads of kayakers not doing them enough. Okay? So I see those that are training for competition do drills all the time. You know, I see polo players do drills. I see slalom paddlers do drills. I see downriver racers do drills. I don't see wreck paddlers do drills. Very rarely do I see wreck paddlers do drills. I don't do drills very often, you know. I'm not training for it. But when I am training, I do drills. And I don't like the word training, because training makes it sound all serious, like I'm some sort of Olympian. And that ain't the case. But I've been out in my new boat doing drills, because I think it's a wise thing to do. Forwards, backwards, lefts and rights, high cross, low cross, eddy turns, S-turns, ferry glides, reverse ferries, surfs, all that stuff, on a really, really easy bit of water, you know, dialing in those basics, dialed forward paddle strokes. How many times does a wreck white water paddler do we concentrate on our paddle strokes? Do we actually concentrate on our paddle strokes? The verticalness of the shaft, looking through the box. When does our forward stroke become a sweep? How do we sort of feel the blade in the water? Do we get that ripple? You know, where are our hands on the shaft? Where's our optimum place for holding our blades? Because we are all different. We all have different arm lengths, different hip indexes, different torsos, different boats, different seating positions. So what's good for me is not good for you. Like, for those of you that have kept an eye on my paddling, and why wouldn't you? Because, you know, I'm awesome. But for those of you that have ever seen videos of me paddling or watched me paddling, I actually have my hands really, really close together on the shaft. I have loads and loads of space between my hand and the throat of the weather shaft meets the blade. Loads of space. And that suits me. I quite like that. People might pull me and say my hands are in the wrong position, but I'm okay with it. They're like, it suits me. I'm never going to tell somebody that their hands are in the wrong place. Unless the paddles are upside down. If your paddles are upside down, I'm going to spank you, because paddles are designed to be, if they're asymmetrical paddles, because we no longer use these big sort of symmetrical blades, do we, in white water? We're all about asymmetrics. And if you're using an asymmetric paddle upside down, I'm going to have a go at you. You know, if you've got a positive blade as well, you know, one of those that's offset away from the shaft, and you're not really needing it, because I don't really know, I don't have a positive blade off my shaft unless I'm using my Lettmans. But my Werners, nah, they're not positive off the shaft. My Jimmy Stick's definitely not positive off the shaft. What benefit do you get as a general wreck paddler having a positive offset blade? And will that margin work for you? Are there any negatives to it? You know, worth considering. Just because a shop tells you that it's a good blade, just because marketing of the brand tells you it's a good blade, is it the best blade for you? Now, we are not all top-tier paddlers. So, if top-tier paddlers are using it, do we need that? And I see that on loads of stuff, not just paddling. Now, something to consider, and this is not the podcast to discuss gear, because I chat gear most days with people on the social media when they message me, what Barry Shade should I get? Get this one, it's like it floats. Get this one, it's got a pocket in it. Get this one, it'll take your sandwiches. But I'm not about that today. I thought we'd go, like I said, let's go back and talk about drills. Drills. Really important. They're dead boring, right? They are amazingly boring. So, let's not kid ourselves that drills are exciting, right? They're not. They're boring as hell. They're even more boring if you're doing by yourself. But they have to be done, okay? They have to be done. And perhaps that's why I don't see people doing them. Perhaps you're all doing drills. Every single one of you, because you're doing them by yourself and they're boring. You're not shouting on social media, I went out and did drills today. And no one's seeing it, right? So, here's a little story. When I first started paddling, which is a hell of a long time ago now, 40 years ago, nearly, which is a long time. I learned in the Scouts. I'd be probably sat in a kayak when I was in Cubs and probably dabbled, but I actually got my teeth into it in Scouts. And we did drills. Forward, backwards and stops. That's it. Forward, backwards, stop. One star stuff, okay? Paddling a straight line. Forwards, paddling a straight line, backwards and stop. How many strokes is it for you to stop a boat on flat water to a halt after you've given it full beans on a forward? How many strokes do you need to stop it from a forward stroke to a backward stroke? That sort of stuff. We concentrate on this. And then I moved to a canoe club. And you bet your bottom dollar we did drills. We did drills every Thursday. Especially when it was coming up to doing your one star, or your two star, your three star, going on river trips. We did drills. My first run down the Trerin, there was four of us. There was myself, my friend Philip, Marianne, who was in charge, well, I say in charge of the club. She wasn't in charge, like, chairwoman type stuff, but she was definitely in charge, this big matriarch of a woman imposing that, you know, I've spoken about her before, that influenced my life choices for many, many decades, really, and that of many others of my peers, and someone else, and I can't remember who it was, which is really bad of me, and did we do drills on the Trevin when I first went on? I'd have been about 14, 15. Yes, we did drills before we even got on the river. This is the days when the train didn't have a shuttle service. You carried your boat up. This is the days when, you know, there was no cafe there. There was a caravan, a greasy spun caravan, which is where the shop is now, actually. There was a greasy spun caravan there. The changing rooms were part of cabins where the shop is now. And it was a completely different river. But we did drills. I remember we were made in the top eddy of Graveyard, you know, the big eddy on River Wight. We were made to do rolls, do a roll, and another, and another, and another. Right, okay, let's paddle the graveyard. I remember that. Drills. Don't see many people doing them, but maybe you are doing them in isolation. Right. This story, drills. I may have said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Old Walk, Scout Campsite. I was there with the canoe club. I would have been doing my, I guess, three star, maybe two star, and I'd failed it on the Saturday due to my sculling for support. And I don't see people sculling for support anymore, which is probably a good thing because it'll take your shoulders out, right? It's a horrible, horrible thing. But we're talking high brace, sculling for support. And I'd failed it. I was told, no, you don't get your badge for your trunks, you know, like, you don't do it. And I was mortified, absolutely mortified. So I got my boat, which was my Dancer, and I would have had a 90 degree offset paddle over 2 metres long, and it would have been a aluminium shafted, plasticky rubber blades Ainsworth, I guarantee. And I went out and I sculled for about an hour to get that tick. Everything else had failed. And I went out, and it was my left-hand side skull that had failed, and my right-hand side was fine, and it was my left-hand side. Because I couldn't commit to the left. All the way through my sort of journey of learning drills, everything I'd done was righty, righty, righty. My high brace on my right was good, my left brace right was good. So my right side was good, sorry. So my high brace on my right was good, my high brace on my low brace on my right was good, and the rudders were good on my right, good, good, good. But my lefts were always dubious. I remember running a weir, and the weir must have been over, it's on the Calder somewhere. And I remember having to do a left-hand support stroke at the bottom. And the very idea of doing that support stroke scared me. Because I wasn't very good on my left. So I went out and I did drills on my left. Now looking back over 30 plus years, of course it was hard on my left. Of course it was. Like, I've got small, well, I had small hands, you know, I've not fully developed paddle. I had a fat shafted aluminium paddle. I've got a 90 degree offset on my blade, so my right wrist has got a twist back like billio, and then I've got to like throw myself back onto the back deck of my boat and do this high skull for support, which is going to rip my shoulder out of its socket. That's just insane, isn't it? But I was conscious of all that stuff, because it's weird, isn't it? Now we don't have 90 degree offset paddles, now we don't have big fat shafts. You know, our shafts are a little bit skinnier, we can get small diameter shafts, all that stuff. Our blades are like, I was going to say our blades are not over 2 metres, but mine are at the moment. But we have different size, you know, paddles and shafts and blades, and it's much easier on the body. And I remember doing these drills and doing them and doing them until I got that skull for support done. Following day, asked for my assessment again, and I got it. And I've never forgotten that, because drills matter. They always matter. Do hard moves on easy water. Always. That stuff matters, you know. When I get a new boat, I was going to say it's rare. Well, it is rare when I get a new boat, but when I get a boat that is new to me, I will do drills in that boat, even if it's just a few minutes, because all boats are different, you know, they're balanced differently, the edges are different, the seats, all that stuff, you dial it in a little bit, don't you? You know, it's a little bit cheeky sometimes to do that stuff, you know, you have to be a bit more conscious of your ability to move around in that position. Also, when you do get new kit, it takes a little bit of time to know where you're putting your stuff, because in your old buoyancy head, for example, you know where your knife sits, you know where your sling sits, you know where your carabiner sit, and then you change into a new buoyancy head, and all of a sudden that pocket feels different, and stuff's not where it should be, you know. Same with a boat, you know, like you change boats, and your furl line maybe doesn't sit where it used to do in the old boat, maybe it doesn't quite sit in the centre console, but you know what I mean, it doesn't quite sit where it should be on that, or maybe it's behind the seat, and it's normally on the right, and then you put it on the left, for whatever reason. And it's all a bit strange. So drills, 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 ingrain that stuff in your body. You know, really important. Find a jet of water if you can. Close your eyes. I've done this many times with people. I'll do it myself. Get a jet of water. Close your eyes. Make ferry glides on feel. Yeah. Gets me to spot you so you don't paddle into the bank like some sort of muppet. But, you know, ferry glides on feel. Do your eddy turns on feel. If it's a wide enough chute, how many strokes is it taking you to make that ferry? How many strokes do you really need? Because I guarantee you don't need as many strokes as you think you need. You know, I was once told that if a move's worth doing, you can probably do it in 4 strokes. And what the guy meant by that was not that you can only do it in 4 strokes, but there's probably 4 keystrokes. Because all the rest are just fluff around it, you know, like they're the strokes that keep your momentum, or they're the strokes that, you know, like they don't adjust your angle, because your angle should be set on those 4. But it's the fluff around it, you know, the stabilizing strokes, because you've hit a rock and wobbled, or you've misjudged the movement of the water, and you've had to sort of adjust a little bit, but if you'd got it right, you wouldn't need them. And obviously that only works to a certain extent, up to a certain level on certain rivers, but it's pretty good, you know. Like, you probably need a good stroke coming out of your eddy, a good stroke once you're in the flow, and then the rest is fluff, and the other two strokes are into the other eddy are really important. Like, and I know people are going to go, but you need more than that, Darren, and I know. But the key ones are the start and the finish, because everything else in the middle gets you to the finish, doesn't it? And without the finish strokes already in your mind, you're going to snooker it. You know, it's not going to work. So, drills. Get them done. I don't know why people are not doing it. Get them done. All right, please. I'd love to see it at the Trowin or the D. I'd love to see it on the D, like at the putting at the D, people doing rolls. I'd love it. I'd love to see that. Same with the train, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see people pushing hard moves on easy water, and I don't see a lot of people doing it. I see people trying to step up to harder water before they've got the basics dialed on easy water. And that goes for everything, guys. That's not just strokes, it's also river signalling and river leading and all that stuff. Do drills on that as well. There was a social media post on one of the Whitewater Safety Forums the other day asking about what signal you would use if you were paddling with a group with two river leaders, and you came to a section that had to be portaged. What signals would you use? And the guy was asking, would you use a vertical paddle with blasts on your whistle to indicate that it was a portage? Now, to me, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that at all. Blast on the whistle for emergencies, or to get attention, get it. But everyone should be looking at where the river leader's going, and they should have been briefed at the start of the day. Now, for me, I'm using the eddy signal. Get the eddy there. That's all you need, because you can't get out and portage a scout until you've got the eddy. So we don't need to jump ahead of ourselves. We need to get that eddy. Okay? I mean, you find a suitable eddy that everyone can get in, you know? That's the important stuff. Don't jump ahead. Drills. Going into river signals, guys. Make sure your group know your signals. It's all very well having a nod and a wink when you're paddling with your friends. Because we all do that, don't we? We have the secret code, the secret handshakey stuff that means, a nod and a wink and we're off. But if you're new to a group or you've got new people in your group, you need to brief the signals and what they really mean. And don't be shy of just being simple. Got simple signals. We don't need to, and like simple descriptions as well always work a treat. You're going to go down this rapid. You're going to head your left at the bottom. Nothing wrong with that at all, is there? No. There's going to be a wave halfway down. It's going to splash you. It's going to kick you to the left. When it kicks you to the left, you want to move to the right. Then you need to put four strokes in before you make the eddy on the left. Well, make the eddy on the left. Surely that's enough. Surely. Again, I could be wrong. This is my understanding of how that works, because we don't want to overcomplicate things. I see lots of people stood on banks micromanaging a fictitious scenario of how they want to actualise a rapid. And until you've got the knowledge, you can't do that. It is just looking at fluff. Lots of people have told me when they first start paddling and they get out and they look at rapids and the guide and the instructor and the coach, whatever it is that's leading that and getting them out, is saying, tell me what you can see. And all they can see is noise, is fluff and hear noise. It's just white fluff. Because you don't have a skill base in which to acknowledge that you've got a V-wave there, you've got a hull there, you've got a power over there. You can just see the fluff. You can't see the thread through the fluff. So we need to, when we are telling people about lines and we are discussing lines, we need to be understanding of their knowledge of that section as well. Again, worth doing drills and talking to people about that stuff, especially on new rivers, on new groups, really worth doing. I've probably rattled on enough now. It's been 20 minutes, which is amazing for me in podcasts recently because they've been really short. But thank you, gang. Please do some drills. Drop some comments in the comment threads on the app or on socials, and we'll talk about it in Messenger. I'm cool with that stuff. I love it. Okay. enjoy yourself, smile. Paddling's all about smiles, isn't it? It's about smiles in your miles. You know, we love that stuff. Hope to see you all. It's Bank Holiday weekend coming up. Yay! So loads of people will be out all the time. Right. So play safe. Put airbags in your boats. Enjoy yourselves. Ta-ra.